This hour of the Jason Rancho brought to you by mmcomfortsystems.com. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in Tacoma?
So, we have two updates to bring you. One having to do with staffing crises that are happening in a city that's not named Tacoma. However, the big one is related to a Tacoma case. We talked about it earlier this week. It was a Jason Rancho exclusive. Unlike all the other exclusives we'd done, this one was in Tacoma, and it showed a man who was caught on video as he appears to be car prowling at the Tacoma Mall, at the various lots attached to the Tacoma Mall, in broad daylight for almost an hour, and police were nowhere to be found. Wasn't the police officer's fault for not showing up within 40 minutes. It's the fault of a city that for too long decided to neglect the needs of the Tacoma Police Department. Will that change? Hopefully. But in this case, this guy in broad daylight was going from car to car to car, very clearly breaking into them, allegedly, so they don't sue. And the witness was there. He happened to be on a job, and it turns out he was a private investigator from Issaquah. He was out in Tacoma. He had the surveillance equipment, and he started to film. And he filmed and filmed and filmed, the video of which is online right now at KTTH.com. And this guy was going from car to car, sort of peering through the windows, trying to see if there was anything there worth stealing. And presumably, if he found something worth stealing, he ends up taking some prying tool, puts it at the top of the window. And I couldn't quite tell whether or not he was misusing the prying tool, because when he pried open the windows, they all just shattered. I don't know if that was the case.
Why are you looking at me like I know how to use the prying tool that gets into cars?
I mean, you have that look.
Yeah, I might have the look, but I just don't know.
You have the look.
I mean, he should have just used the Slim Jim. I thought that's what everyone should use.
That's what I thought, too. Or, I mean, there's that tool that I used to see on those stupid, like, 48-hour shows that said they did once a special, and this was like 8 years ago. There was a time where a lot of people, I guess, were getting caught in floods in their car and they couldn't get out, or they would be submerged. I don't remember if there was any real rash of those stories, but there was this tool that you are supposed to purchase and keep in your car so you can break through the windows very easy, because it's not easy to break through a car window.
Oh yeah, the window puncher router thingies.
That thingy that's got like a yellow handle. Because I bought one when I once had a car, and I kept it in my car.
Because you were worried about the floods
in case
happening
I might get stuck in Lake Union or something.
Yeah, exactly. Because
every once in a while, you sometimes are all like, I want to end it all. I'm going to drive off of this one little bridge over Lake Union on East Lake and Fairview or whatever. And then you realize, well, it's only 2 feet drop, so nothing would happen, and I would just get stuck.
They do say one wrong turn and your car just ends up. You are one wrong turn away from submerging your car into Lake Union.
Almost got stuck in a lake in Auburn.
Yeah, it's just, it's tough.
It's, you know, things happen. So he didn't do that. He was breaking into the cars. He would steal stuff, and it was all caught on tape. So when officers arrived, the guy had already left. Now, I'm told that the Tacoma Police Department, after getting a hold of this video, started to do some investigating, and they were able to track down one of the cars that was stolen. They were able to catch some suspect by the name of John Bonner. That's his name. He's 43 years old, and they are charging him with, I believe it was 3 felony counts or maybe 2 felony counts. The problem is, even though they made the arrest, they did not keep him locked up because, unfortunately, due to the COVID rules, they released him. And it's unclear where he is at this moment. Now, could that change at any point? Yes, hopefully they end up catching this guy and maybe he'll show up to his pending court date, which has not yet been set.
But I'm sure he will.
I'm hopeful, because people accused of crimes doesn't make them bad guys. And even if they're actually convicted, they're the victims here, right? Because of systemic, well, this guy's white, but still systemic something or other.
Equity.
Equity, indeed. So that's a very good update. Number 2, the Seattle Police Department is fully vaccinated. Did you know that? Fully vaccinated. Because they sidelined, in order to fire, all the police officers who refused to get vaccinated or refused to show their COVID vaccination cards to the city, to the man. And when they sidelined all these officers, almost 100, they did so at a time where the staffing crisis was severe. We know that last year they separated from 170 officers. The year before that, 180 officers left the department, leaving the department with the lowest number of deployable officers it's seen since at least the 80s. They only have about 850 or so officers who are able to go into the streets and properly police. That's not counting the recruits and the new students and whatnot who are not yet ready to go out into the community yet. When you count those, about 950, but still, that's low. It's supposed to be anywhere, depending on who you talk to. Whenever I've talked to the command staff or done interviews with like Mike Solon, the president of Seattle Police Officers Guild, they always gave me a number of between 1,500 and 1,600 officers. Bruce Harrell, new mayor, is out, and I believe he said something along the lines of 1,400. Okay, whatever you want. It's certainly more than what we have right now. I can confirm that COVID is just ripping through the police department that's fully vaccinated. We fired the unvaccinated so we can prevent COVID from spreading within the fire within the police department. They, on January 11th, counting all of the employees who tested positive since the pandemic began, they had a number of 301 employees testing positive. So at that point, you know, 301 out of 800 to 900, however, whichever number you want, about a third of the department had tested positive. But January 21, which is today, that number is at 415 employees have tested positive since the start of the pandemic. But I can do the math. On January 11th, 10 days ago, they were at 301. January 21st, today, they're at 415. So in 10 days, quickly doing the math, divided by 12 times 2 times pi divided by 0 plus 1 half over x equals 114 infections.
You did that math in your head?
All in my head.
You didn't have that written out in front of you already?
Nope.
And then just made up words?
I literally just walked through it in my head, and you heard me. It's like when you do an algebra problem in math class, you have to show your work. I verbally showed my work.
Wow, incredible.
Yeah. 114 infections in 10 days in a fully vaccinated staff, which yet again shows you how much of a failure the vaccine mandate was. If your goal was to stop the spread of COVID, very clearly the vaccine does not work to stop the spread of the Omicron variant. The policy that was put in place by Governor Inslee and Jenny Durkin at the time was a solution, a permanent solution to an evolving problem. So they're not changing their permanent solution to match the current issue. So you've got 114 out with positive cases. So they're out for the 10 to 14 days, whatever it is. You have about 100 officers who were sidelined for not getting vaccinated. Many of them have either quit or have been fired so far. Not all of them have, apparently. It kind of seems like you could use them right now. Just, again, I'm not good. I'm gooder with English than I am with math. It just feels like you could have used them right now. That's all. I'm just throwing that out there as, you know.
For what it's worth.
Yeah, for that's my hot take.
Love a good hot cake on a Friday.
Yeah. God. Funnel cake.
Funnel cake.
Suddenly want one?
Yeah.
You always want one. That was my point, and I was setting you up. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. When we come back, we're going to make fun of Adele. I'll tell you why. And you're all going to agree with me from the other side of this traffic break, because her song is from the other side. Okay, just don't forget, you can follow me on Instagram. If you want to go behind the scenes when I do my Fox News hits, they're always fun, and I always give a little bit of an update as to when they are. And when I say they're fun to go behind the scenes, it's usually because I'm making fun of Anne, who does my makeup, or Greg, who does the camera work.
Do you have that close of a relationship with them yet that you can make fun of them?
Anne, the makeup lady, she's always like, when I'm mean to her, which is always, she goes, you always try to be mean, but I know deep inside you're a good person. To which I say, no, I promise I'm not. And then sometimes I'll push her, and then she'll get the point.
What's wrong with Anne? Why can't she just catch on already?
I know. Come on, Anne. What's going on? Greg knows that I'm stupid and mean. Instagram. It's true. Just look up Jason Rantz on Instagram. Push a button.
What's trending? Celebrity news.
Adele was supposed to play the first of her 24 concerts. The first time she's done a show in, what, like 5 years or something. It was supposed to be at Caesar's Palace, and it was supposed to start today. She was scheduled to do 2 weekend shows until April. Unfortunately, she canceled yesterday. She gave 24 hours notice when she almost certainly would have known probably weeks ago that this wasn't ready. Apparently, some folks got COVID, and I guess they couldn't find anyone in all of Las Vegas, a city that puts on shows every single day, multiple times a day. They couldn't find people to then work the show and set up whatever needed to be set up.
I mean, it's kind of a small town, you know, not huge into
their other events. Than doing the whole daily event thing multiple times a day, they probably couldn't find anyone who was qualified. And so Adele, in a carefully worded apology where she was crying through, she went on Instagram to tell her fans,
"So sorry, but my show ain't ready. We've been absolutely destroyed by delivery delays and COVID. I'm so upset and I'm really embarrassed and I'm so sorry to everyone that traveled again. I'm really, really sorry. I'm really sorry.
Oh, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. The delays. The delays? When did you get the packages? Like today? So, presumably you knew that the delays were going to cause the cancellation of your concerts. Probably a while ago, like when you kept refreshing the UPS website and it said, still in transit, it's in Kansas somewhere. Or ultimately, in this case, it's still overseas somewhere.
Yeah, but she's from Tottenham, so if it's in Kansas, she's going to have zero record. Oh, it's right next door to Vegas. It's
There's
in
a
Kansas.
Map that she could look at.
You think Adele spends her time looking at
maps? I didn't know. Very confusing.
Does her accent sound a little fake to you?
It's totally fake. I'm trying to be both like elevated, but also sort of a trashy Londoner kind of thing, because she's from that part of town. So people are rightly pissed off at her because she very clearly knew prior to yesterday where she tearfully does this. She didn't cancel, though, the shows. The shows weren't canceled. You know what they were?
Postponed.
Postponed. Why does that matter?
Because she still plans on doing them. She
didn't okay, but why would that matter? What do you think that has some implications towards? Why might someone be mad right now?
Because they traveled to Las Vegas to see the show this weekend.
Was it a free show?
No, they probably paid a lot of money to get to see it. And it's at Caesars, right? That's not the cheapest.
No, it's not. And, you know, for example, if you went on StubHub, you have the ability to do what? Not just purchase tickets directly from Caesars Palace, but...
Talking selling tickets?
You probably bought it from a third party, right?
Yes, of course.
Do they generally charge what you would normally get if you just walked up to Caesar and say, "Mr. Caesar, I'd like to purchase two of your finest tickets"?
Now they'll charge more than that.
A lot more, right?
Yeah.
Especially because they're all sold out, yeah?
Yeah.
And this is our first show in 5 years, yeah?
Uh-huh, yep.
Coming up after this blockbuster monster album called 30, yeah?
Yeah, well, I think 9 years, actually, because I don't think she toured for the 24 album. When did she tour for 24?
I don't know. It just said, I looked it up. It said 5 years.
I don't believe that.
Okay, you fact check it, okay?
I will.
Yeah, go to Wikipedia where you normally go. The reason why it matters is when you postpone, you're not owed a refund. Because first, they have to come back out, the Adele people over at Caesars, and say, okay, we have now changed the dates. Here are the new dates. Can you make it? And then at that point, the person can say, yes, I can make it, or I can't. So you're not even getting that refund immediately. And I don't know what the StubHub policy might even be for postponing events. Generally speaking, if they postpone it and you can't make it, then you are subject to the ability to get that refund. The people who showed up already, who are right now in Vegas, who flew from God knows where to see Adele because they love her so much, they are completely out of luck because you're not getting a refund for showing up to a hotel in Vegas. Now, maybe if you bought it as part of some Caesar's Palace package, you might get an upgrade to, you know, get, or maybe they'll give you a free buffet out of it. But, and just one, not two. It's just for one of you.
And oh, no.
You can't share, by the way. So don't try to do that. They'll yell at you.
How are the people in Vegas who got their shows canceled? How are they ever going to find anything to do tonight?
It's not. That's not what this is about.
No, but then the other.
That is not what this is about. There were some people who spent, no kidding, 40 grand.
What?
40 grand on all of this. Now, granted, those are I'm assuming those are people who can afford to do this, and they're not going to really be put out too much. But there were some people who were just super fans of Adele, and they traveled from Kansas, Topeka, to tell her, hey, I know you think that this is very close, like this is just a hop from London to Paris. But no, this is more like a hop from London to Greece, Athens, and that's like a 6-hour flight.
Hey, who's spending 40 grand on this? It's not like she's...
I'm saying the other... Yeah. Ignore those people. I'm saying the ones who were lucky enough to get the $85 tickets, the nosebleed section, but it's still expensive for them to make that flight from wherever it is they're going. And it's an inconvenience for some. They took the day off. They took today off. They took yesterday off for the flight over. They were really excited. They got the fanny packs on, and they were ready to explore Las Vegas for the first time. But really, they were there for Adele. And once they realize that Caesar's Palace is definitely not what Caesar's Palace used to be, they're going to be especially disappointed.
I mean, it's not like Adele's Hannah Montana, you know? If it was Hannah Montana, I'd understand 40K.
She's going to redo her dates, right? And she's still going to get exactly the same insane amount of money out of this. She was going to get $500,000 per show.
And here's the great thing about StubHub, though. If your show was canceled, say you did fly in and you gotta, it gets postponed. Oh, no, you can't make up the postponed dates. You already spent all this money. Sell the tickets for a profit on StubHub and get out of there. Maybe you get your whole trip paid for by selling those.
I'm sure everyone knows how to do that.
What? It's an application.
47-year-old single woman with 13 cats from Topeka. Yeah, she's going to figure that out.
There's literally a buy, transfer, sell option when you view your tickets.
Can't even get back onto her Bumble account. And by the way, you're too old for Bumble. Why don't you go use Match.com? She goes, well, I tried, but they kicked me off because I kept putting up photos of me from 10 years ago.
So when does this Adele thing start? When did she release, like, the date that they're postponing to?
No, we don't have any of those dates yet.
It's just up in the air.
We're still waiting for the UPS tracking to update.
Caesar's Palace has to be pissed on the lost revenue because now their ballroom is just empty for unknown amount of days.
No, they're fine. They're going to get her again, and it'll sell out again. And the person who can't make that one but could make these sets of dates, that person's going to be just out of luck. How about this, Adele? You're there. Just go on the little promenade and start singing. People don't show up to see an Adele concert to see all the crap around her, right? They'll take it. It's cool when you go see one of these big shows at an event like this, right? But they show up for her voice. This isn't Madonna, where Madonna shows up and you're all like, I think she's 90 years old and I can't believe she's still dressing like that and can dance, but we know she's not singing. Adele actually sings. And everyone is all like, I want to make sure she's actually as thin as she is right now and it's not some Instagram filter.
That's why people are showing
up. Yeah. That's why, that weirdly, the guy spent 40 grand.
Adele, it was all like, I think that this is fake. Health.
I think that this is all an Instagram setting. What, the filter that makes someone skinny?
Yeah, the filter.
Because you only see it really on,
well,
on
the,
Instagram at
the
this
Oprah
point.
Thing that she did.
Yeah, sitting next to Oprah might change. What?
That was the meanest thing that you could have said right there.
Yeah, to make her look bigger than she is. See? I don't go after Oprah. Welcome back to the Jason Rance Show. I don't know if you knew this, but Governor Jay Inslee is an absolute hero when it comes to overcoming COVID. In fact, he was able to testify yesterday during a remote hearing to brag about how amazing the response in Washington State was. Part of the reason why he did it yesterday was the two-year anniversary of the first official COVID case that was identified. And, of course, as you recall, it was the first one here. We are, as a state, patient zero. I'm not entirely sure I would want that distinction. Like, hey, you're from that state that brought us COVID for the first time. I mean, you didn't do enough to actually contain the virus, and it ended up spreading and then causing global meltdown. But I heard you did a really good job in your response by prioritizing three things. He said he followed the science. He didn't understand the science, which is, I mean, he literally meant I followed along in the memo and then I got lost and then I just did my thing. That he valued lives. I mean, not the ones that he forced into positions where they were getting depressed because they weren't allowed to go outside, particularly the kids. But he valued the lives of his fellow old people. To the point where even if you said, hey, could we maybe prioritize some of this in a slightly different way? He accused you of wanting to kill grandma. And then he said he understood that knocking down the virus was the best way for us to reopen the economy. And apparently we knocked down the virus while simultaneously telling us that all the hospitals are being overrun.
Now, the question is, did those strategies work?
No.
They worked big time.
Oh, that's a very compelling case. Thank you, Governor. They worked big time. Sir, would you like to expand on your point? Yes.
Big time.
Bigger time than Florida. How so, sir? I'm Democrat. DeSantis, Republican. Thank you, Mr. Inslee. Welcome! It's time for lunch. Then he goes by and Trudy comes in. Mr. Governor, sweetheart, I brought you your favorite lunch. He's like, yes! Chicken fingers! Cut in the shape of dinosaurs! Did you bring me side of ketchup? Yes, caveman. I mean, Mr. Governor. I can't be the only one who thinks he talks like what a caveman would talk once he figures out, well, here's fire, and now let me come up with a language. That is Governor Jay Inslee. Here's his evidence that he was a huge success.
So our death rate per 100,000 is just about half what the national average is.
Oh, okay. I'm sure that had nothing to do with the fact that we have more people who are younger than other places. Okay, we'll push that aside. And he said that he instituted the vaccine mandates to save lives.
By making it a condition of employment, that has increased our vaccination rate from 50% to 96%.
I just cannot get over that argument. He's bragging about a high rate of vaccination that only got there because he threatened the livelihoods of people. That's not a good brag. That's not a good break. You can say, I did this for the greater good because it resulted in fewer deaths and fewer blah, blah, blah. What, like, put that data up there. But to say, yes, when I didn't threaten the livelihoods of people, the number was only at 50%. But after I swore to them that they would go homeless and not be able to take care of their family and their kids would starve to death because I would kill them with their job, then they got the vaccine and it jumped to 96%. That's not a brag. That's actually kind of ghoulish. That's ghoulish. And so, remember, the context here is Jay Inslee saved the state of Washington. We're doing better than any other state. And so when he was asked what he would need now from the federal government.
We need nurses. We need mental health treatment in our schools
for what?
Kids, this is a big time need right now. I'm proposing a whole bunch in my budget. You can help where you can.
A whole bunch of my budget. He forgot the numbers. You just said that you were successful. And then when asked what you need, we need resources for mental health for kids who are in really difficult spots because of your policies. And you need more nurses because you fired a whole bunch of unvaccinated ones who ended up not actually needing to get fired if your whole goal in the vaccine mandate was to remind me again, oh, stop the spread of COVID within businesses and the workers. Okay. But other than that, it was a huge success. We're getting a little bit more from the often incorrect, but we always pretend they're correct because the media likes to pretend that they're correct. University of Washington and their Institute for Health Metrics. This one I'm just going to pretend is correct because it benefits an argument of mine. His name is Dr. Chris Murray. He spoke to Cairo 7 TV. And they're predicting at the Institute that Omicron, the worst is probably almost certainly over. And we think we're going to be back to where it should be, where Omicron isn't a serious issue or as serious. And that's just around the corner.
So we expect after the Omicron wave, a period of low transmission.
A period of low transmission that we're going to hit in February, end of February.
So I think we will go back to normal in the sense that we won't have major restrictions on behavior.
Ooh. Does that mean getting rid of our masks? Does that mean not having to pretend that COVID spreads outdoors so we can maybe get together and be closer than 6 feet? That's so weird. Part of his position there is saying, hey, we know about the changes in the virus, and the changes in the virus have been less severe. We know more about COVID and how to treat it and fight it than we did before. And then, yeah, you've got the vaccines plus, the mix of people who are naturally immune because of infection. So at some point, he says, we're going to treat this the same way we treat the flu.
We will go into this period where, you know, the immunological exposure to COVID is so much higher, both from vaccination and infection, that we won't see restrictions return.
Yay. I mean, that's good. I hope we get to that point. Can we just do it now? Just get a head start? Do we have to wait until he's talking about the country.
Yeah, I think you got to wait.
No, but Governor Inslee said we defeated COVID.
You're going to trust him?
On this, I'll trust him. I don't care if he's right. I'm kind of just ready to get along with my life.
Haven't you been doing that for the last...
I mean, yeah, that's fair. But I still have to wear a mask when I go in certain places. They force me. And they give me a look if I don't. And I don't like to be looked at. I mean, I love to be looked at, but not attacked. And sometimes when people look at me, they're like, you're that guy from TV and radio. I must stab you. So, I try to avoid that. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. I found this story today that actually weirdly sort of picks up on something we talked about yesterday in the last rant about how I warned people not to buy into this sort of nonsense that's being pushed in the post-COVID world or current COVID world of working. And I said, don't take advantage of the millennial sort of outlook on work, where they've leaned so far to one side of the position of work-life balance, where it's no longer a balance. It's just, I want to have a life and never work, because it's not only going to create lazy people who don't actually contribute to society, but you're not going to be successful. And the folks who actually work hard, especially right now, will be the ones who have success. Success in a whole host of ways. And it kind of depends, I suppose, on what success means to you. It could obviously mean financial, and working hard will come with some financial success, but also just the feeling of actually doing something, finishing something, working hard, and seeing that end result. That brings to you and so many people this sense of accomplishment that really creates a drive that makes people thrive. This idea that they are contributing to society via their work, whatever industry you happen to be in, also should be considered a success, not just for what it brings to the community, but what you brought to the community. That should help make you feel good about what it is you're doing. And then I saw this piece in the Washington Post, and how ironic that I just saw it, because it's titled 4-Day Weeks and the Freedom to Move Anywhere, Companies Are Rewriting the Future of Work. And they say the traditional idea of going to an office 5 days a week or working 9 to 5 may be dying. Some companies are making room for more creative and flexible approaches to getting workers to do their jobs. Now, that last point, that second sentence of the story, two sentences in, and I'm already annoyed. Some companies are making room for more creative and flexible approaches to getting workers to do their jobs. So no longer is the incentive to do, to get your paycheck to, is to do work. That's no longer the incentive. Knowing that you're going to get paid for the work that you do. Now you have to be creative and flexible in addition to offering a paycheck, a fair paycheck that the employee agreed to in order for them to do their job. So I'm already annoyed. Now, some of this makes total sense to me in one in the position of like Zoom, for example. Zoom is allowing workers, and they've got about 6,000 or so employees, to choose whether or not they're going to work in the office, remotely, or go hybrid. Hybrid in this case would be, hey, I agree that I'll work 3 days a week in the office or 2 weeks a month in the office and the other 2 weeks or the remaining days, whatever it happens to be, I'm going to work at home. That's what they mean by hybrid versus just only working in the office or just working remotely. Now, Zoom, that's a business where this makes sense because they're the ones who have basically made it so that people can work remotely. But beyond those kinds of companies, beyond these tech companies, I hate this idea of not working in an office where you are supposed to be, for the most part, collaborating with other people. You are being more efficient when you're in an office because when you have a question, you don't have to send an email or send a calendar invite so we can get a Zoom call together or a Microsoft Teams call together at some point. You can just go over to that person's office or cubicle and you can actually have a conversation with them. Where you're not going to lose things in translation. You're going to ask a simple question. They're going to give you a simple answer. And bam, all of a sudden, you're able to get an answer, get back to the office that you occupy, your cubicle, wherever it is you're working, and actually get stuff done. People want to pretend. I just had this conversation yesterday with someone here. People pretend that when they're at home, they're working the same, that they're just as efficient. No, more efficient. We're told that all the time. We're actually more efficient by being able to work from home because we can cut out all of the distractions. Really? That dog of yours that you adopted during COVID and you're walking two times, three times during your shift and you're going on nice leisurely walks. Because, you know, you had to get away from the office anyway. Are you more efficient with that? Is that not a distraction? Is the kid that's staying home not a distraction? Is your spouse staying home not a distraction? Is that TV that's on in the background watching daytime television soap operas, that's not a distraction? The fact that you don't have to worry about how much time you're futzing around on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram because the boss you're definitely not going to run into, that's not a distraction, really? No one believes that. No smart person believes that. And the funny thing is, people can tell that you're not being efficient because you're not turning in the same results as you normally would. And because you're so difficult to get a hold of as you're pretending to work, as you're running errands in the middle of the day, you're making it harder for other people to get their jobs done because sometimes they rely on you. That, all of that stuff is out the window when you're in an office. People are taking advantage of this because they decided to move, and this was on them. They decided to move out of their homes, out of their apartments, further away from their jobs during the start of COVID. And at that point, obviously, I understand why people were forced to work remotely. I get it. But folks decided to permanently move. They made a permanent move when all that was happening at the time was a temporary solution to the current problem, current at the time. And now they're saying, well, I don't want to move back. I moved to Aberdeen to get away from all the silliness of Seattle. I'm going to work remote forever. No, you shouldn't. The best kind of work is done in the office. The best kind of work is done when you can collaborate and actually be a part of a team. And the people who are successful know that. The people who are most successful know that they have drive. And it's certainly true that there are some people who have the kind of drive that will exist in a remote environment, but the vast majority of people don't have that kind of drive. Most people don't have that kind of drive. Most people kind of have to have it put on them. And it doesn't mean that they're not going to be successful because they don't have that drive. It's because of the environment that forces them into that mode of being very, very efficient and focused. They're the ones who will still succeed, but you got to do it from a place that's going to put you in a place to succeed. And I'm telling you, as someone who has that sort of drive and that focus, when I was doing work from home, I hated it because I was inefficient. My show prep was a joke. I had the TV on in the background the entire time. And it's funny because I have a TV in my office that is almost, weirdly enough, never on. I've been putting it on more right now, keeping it on Fox News just so I can follow some of the news of the day. But even then, I sometimes forget, oh, yeah, I should probably put on my TV. Because when you're in the office, you are focused on actual work. And, yeah, there is some downtime in the office where you're doing things that are not efficient uses of your time. I'll go for a walk every single day to grab coffee with one of my colleagues. And we talk on the way there and we talk on the way back. And that's just a little bit. That is my break of the day. Peyton comes into my office, says a whole bunch of stupid things that I don't need to pay attention to. Seldom do I actually pay attention to, which is always a problem because later on he'll say, hey, what about that thing we talked about? And I'll have no idea what he's talking about. Sure, that happens. But I still pick this over working at home because I saw the end results of my work when I was doing it from home versus working from here. And I guarantee you I'm not the only person who this happens to, because you and I both know there are a lot of people who are very, very, very lazy. And the only thing keeping them accountable is this idea that the boss might realize that they're not actually working. Some people just have that kind of personality or lack of work ethic. If we want our economy to truly pick up, if we want to stay the powerhouse that we are as a country, you can't get rid of the work ethic that helped build this country. Let's be clear. The American work ethic, generations ago, not even that far from this current generation, is what built this country. Do we have to hold the exact same work ethic where people were working 14 hours a day and it was mostly very labor intensive and they got home, they ate dinner, they spent 10 minutes with their kids and went to bed? No. If we actually had a balance, and when we say work-life balance, we actually meant balance, that would be different. But that's not what these folks are trying to do here, and it's being driven by a level of narcissism coming from millennials who don't believe that they should have to work for an employer, that the employer has to work for them. That now no longer are you only going to expect a paycheck if you want us to do our jobs, but now we want you to give us some more flexibility and creativity. In addition to that high paycheck, higher than what I'm worth, if you want me to do my job. And I just think that that is the wrong direction to take this, to take our labor industry. Whichever industry you're in. I just think it's the wrong route, man. So I'm going to continue to do my work, and I'm going to continue to work hard. I'm going to continue to work my tail off. And I guarantee you that I'm going to see more success than any of the people who are like, well, I want to work remotely from home. Dude, you're a Starbucks barista. How are you going to make that happen? You better get creative. Also, we're unionizing, and so you have no choice. Okay, thanks. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation, send me a text. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show.